Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening. We've been talking about the weapons of our warfare from 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 3. And so we're going to review that very quickly here today, just the first two parts of this series we're going to review, and it starts in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, they are not fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, that's Paul at his finest there, Paul at his most anointed. He's very good at putting out some great statements, sometimes a bit complex, but they are always profound and full of revelation. And what he's saying here is that we are in a spiritual battle, and the battle is intense. It goes on day and night. It will go on for you, beloved, it will go on every single day, all the rest of your life, until you take your last breath on this earth. And for those who are born again, for those who are walking with Jesus and have the Holy Spirit to guide them and counsel them, this battle is a battle that you will be victorious in this battle. You will be a conqueror in this battle. You need not fear the enemy. You can respect him, but you need not fear him. And you fear the Lord. You fear the Almighty God, who gives you the power, the strength, and the wisdom, and the knowledge, the direction to defeat the enemy in your life. And so you need not fear the enemy. You fear God. Fear God. He is the one who makes the final determination over your life. He is the one who has the final say. He is the sovereign God over the affairs of all men. And so when you fear God, you will make good decisions. You will make decisions out of humility and in wisdom, and you need not fear that the devil is going to derail your life. Well, if you haven't heard the first two sessions of this series, go to my website, gatheredtheoutcast.com, and click on Radio Archives. You will see on the right-hand side of the front page of my website, you will see these radio broadcasts, and you can get those broadcasts, listen to them at your own convenience. And when Paul is saying that we have weapons of our warfare, he was saying that our weapons are spiritual because the battle is spiritual. And so those weapons I listed in the first session of this series, and I'm going to review them quickly. The weapons I consider the most important are prayer, fasting, study of God's word, and praise and worship, and then to stay in the fellowship, or to be in the fellowship. And so today we're going to look at verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what is Paul talking about there? The devil is the master of trickery. He is the master of deceit. He comes to us as a knight in shining armor. He comes to us disguised as an angel of light, the Bible says, and that he is the master of deceit and trickery. And it doesn't matter how down and out you are, it doesn't matter how young or old you are, he will try to trick you, he will try to deceive you, because his ultimate purpose is to come against God in your life. His ultimate purpose is to come against the plan of God in your life. And you, beloved, you have been spoken over by God even before you were born, even before you were knit in your mother's womb. You were spoken over by God. He declared his plan and his purpose for your life. He declared your destiny. But the devil, you can be assured, is going to come against that. He is going to try everything in his power to get you to agree with him and against the kingdom of God, against the move of God in your life. And the devil is going to try to deceive you. He will trick you. He will send his demons to tempt you and to sway you and to lead you off into the wilderness area. And the only hope you have, beloved, to get back, the only hope you have to stay on track, the only hope you have to fulfill the purpose that God has for you is you have to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You have to keep your eyes focused on the plan that God has for you. You have to keep praying about that plan. You have to keep your nose in the Bible and keep studying God's word. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will light your path, and prayer will give you the positioning before God that you can continue to speak to God and know that he speaks to you. And then the fellowship and the praise and worship, the fasting, all those other things, all those other disciplines that we practice in our life, that we engage in to stay connected to God, all those are very critically important so that the devil doesn't make inroads in our life and we don't make agreements with the devil's plan, and we make agreements with the plan of God, and then we go forward seeking that plan. We go forward walking out that plan. That's sanctification. After you have been saved, after you've been justified, then you are sanctified, and you move forward to enable the plan of God to go forward in your life. Beloved, that is a life lived well, and when you live that, you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, you're going to have unspeakable pleasure in communion with the Lord and with your fellow believers. Well, when Paul says that we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, he means just that. When the devil puts thoughts in your mind, when the devil comes to you and puts a tempting thought in your mind that maybe Friday night is a good time to go out and get some beer and get drunk, or maybe you should connect with an old flame that you used to know and you're still married and trying to establish a good marriage relationship, or maybe you think you need to look up some buddies that you know are druggies and still operating in a drug world. Whatever the temptation is, you are going to be tempted in your weakest point in your mind, and the devil is going to exalt his plan. He's going to exalt high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so what Paul is saying is that when you get that tempting thought, when you start to think about enacting or going into a plan of action to contact some people that are doing drugs, to contact an old flame outside of your marriage, to contact people that you know are not going to be good for you, they're going to lead you astray, and they're going to introduce more of the devil's plan in your life, you take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You don't keep entertaining those thoughts. You don't keep entertaining that plan of action. When you have a struggle with pornography, when you have a struggle with cussing or a struggle with smoking, whenever the devil says you can't make it without another cigarette, whenever the devil tells you you can't make it without another beer or without another pot session, you take that thought captive. Take it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And this sounds simple to say, it sounds simple to do, but beloved, it's not simple. I know that. I've dealt with addictions in my life. There are times in my life when I've been led astray by the devil and I've been terribly addicted to substances and patterns of thought, patterns of behavior that were very destructive. By the grace of God, did I make it through them? By the grace of God, did I stand through those battles? And I'm still standing, I'm still going, and it's by the grace of God that I'm bringing you this message today and continue to minister. But beloved, when those thoughts come into your mind that you know are against the knowledge of God, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, then you bring that thought into captivity. Stop entertaining it. Speak against that plan. speak against that agreement that you have made with the devil. I speak against pornography. I know it is destructive. I know it has no good in me. I know it has no place in my life. It's going to cause me problems in relationships with my wife, with my family, with my girlfriend, with my children, with my brothers in the faith. I speak against that pornography, and I repent of any pornography that I have entertained, that I have engaged in, and I repent of that. I ask the Lord to forgive me, and I speak against that, and I close that portal of entry into my life, into my soul, so that the devil has no inroad into my soul through the vehicle of pornography. And whatever your weakness is, wherever you're weak, and the devil is using that to hammer you and to get the best of you, you speak against it, repent of it, and turn from that activity. And when Paul uses the phrase casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, he's saying that the devil will always give you tricky arguments. He did the very same thing with Jesus when he came to Jesus in the fourth chapter of Matthew. The devil came to Jesus. Jesus was out in the wilderness praying. The Holy Spirit had led him out there to pray and to get ready for his earthly ministry. Jesus at that time had been baptized, and the Holy Spirit came to him, and the Father looked down on him and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus knew this was the time when his earthly ministry was going to start. And so then the Holy Spirit led him out there into the wilderness. And so the devil used the very same tactics against Jesus that he uses against us. Three different times the devil came to Jesus and he spoke words of scripture to him. He twisted words of scripture. He brought arguments to him that sounded a little bit plausible, that sounded a little bit good from the natural point of view, from the earthly point of view. But Jesus, being the Son of God, he knew that these arguments would lead to trickery, and they would lead to deceit, and they would lead to his death, that is, his eternal death and his earthly death. And so he refuted those arguments by quoting scripture back to the devil. Three different times Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8, and he quoted that scripture back to the devil because the devil was trying to get him to turn the stone into bread because he knew Jesus had been fasting and that he was very hungry. And then they went to the pinnacle of the temple, and the devil encouraged Jesus to throw himself off the temple to prove that God could rescue him. And we do that many times. Beloved, we get ourselves in a precarious situation, in a tricky situation, and we cry out to the Lord. We cry out to the Lord, and the devil has encouraged us to get into these situations where our backs are at the wall, and it appears that we have no recourse. It appears that we have no way out, and it's just the devil's way of getting us down the wrong path. And then we think, well, God's going to rescue us. God's going to rescue me. And he was saying the same thing to Jesus. Just throw yourself off that pinnacle of the temple, and God will rescue you. And Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test." In other words, don't put the Lord to the test in your life. Don't make foolish decisions. Don't do things that you know are stupid and are going to have very negative consequences, and then expect the Lord to somehow rescue you at the last minute and pull you out of the fire, because you are all of a sudden then crying out to the Lord. You're all of a sudden then believing that God can rescue you from any situation. Well, yes, God can rescue you and me from any situation, but there are times when God says, "This is the bed you've made, and you just go ahead and sleep in it, and this is the seed that you've sown, and you go ahead and reap the fruit of the harvest of the seed that you have sown." And so that was the second way that Jesus was tested, the second argument that the devil used against him. And then the third was the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth, the drug kingdoms, the corrupt kingdoms, the kingdoms of lying and stealing, and everything that is a product of the Babylon system, the Babylon world, all the systems of the world that come against the kingdom of God. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, if you will bow down and serve me and just serve me, I will make you the ruler of over all these kingdoms. Well, he didn't realize Jesus was already the ruler of all the kingdoms of the world, and all of the kingdoms were in his hand, in the palm of his hand, and he could do with them as he wished. But he just said to the devil, you shall serve the Lord your God only, and in him you shall serve and no other. And so he was saying to the devil, I don't need to partake in your kingdoms, devil. I don't need to serve in your kingdoms. I already created this whole earth. I created all the universe and all the systems in it. And therefore, I serve the God who gave me the power. And I serve the God who gave me the strength to stand up and say no to you, devil. And that's what we need to do. We need to speak to the devil. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And we need to speak against the plan of the devil and speak for the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the way that you speak is you speak the word of God back to the devil, just like Jesus did. It is written. And so you speak the affirmations of your identity in the kingdom of God. You speak the affirmations of your identity. In other words, you start to tell the devil who you are within the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. All things are new. That is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Beloved, you start to get down in your spirit and into your soul the fact that if you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not the old you. You're not the old sinful you. Yes, you may stumble. Yes, you may sin, but you're not the old you, and you're not that old person before you came to know Jesus. You're not that old person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and in him you have your strength, in him you have your power, in him you have your destiny, and you speak that to the devil. Devil, I am a new creation, and I am walking in my power. I'm walking in my destiny that has been given to me by the Son of God, and I am walking into my destiny, and I will not be deterred. I will not be taken away from it. I will not be led out into the wilderness area and be led astray. And so if you speak these kinds of affirmations over your life, then the devil will leave you alone, and you can pursue and keep your eye on that goal. You can pursue that goal, and you will have victory in your walk with the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the devil comes to you and tells you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't write a book, you can't preach, you can't lead a Bible study, you can't stay away from the drug people, you can't stay away from that girlfriend that you're climbing into bed with, even though you're not married to her, you speak to the devil, devil, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. And that includes whatever program that you have been given by the devil, whatever agreement you have given over to the devil, you can break it off, you can take it back, and you can say, I am no longer in agreement with you, devil, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, beloved, that is a great affirmation. That is one of the great verses in the Bible, I consider, in the New Testament. And so another one we have in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul again to the Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Beloved, when you start to consider yourself crucified with Christ, when you start to consider yourself as set free from the grip of the devil, from the wiles of the devil, You say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He is directing my behavior. He has given me the strength to get up and go to church on Sunday. He's given me the strength to do a radio broadcast. He's given me the strength to preach crusades. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, it is no longer you who is doing it. It is Christ who lives within you, and he is going to use people. Yes, he is going to use people. Just like you, just like me, just like Billy Graham, just like any pastor, any preacher who started out as a regular person, and he is going to use them because God works through people to advance his kingdom here on this earth. And he can use you. God is no respecter of persons. He can use you just like he can use me or any other person. You just have to be available. You just have to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I remember the first time the Lord showed me he wanted me to come to Africa back in about 2009. I had no connections to anybody here. I didn't know one single person here. I had no desire to go to Africa, really. I had no real interest in the place other than just curiosity. And so when God showed me he wanted me to come to Africa, I said, Lord, I don't understand why you're taking me there. I'm sure there's other people that would be better suited, better equipped, better qualified. But I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be obedient. And when you open up the door for me to go, I will walk through that door and I will go. And it was shortly after that dream that God showed me that he wanted me to go. Shortly after that, I received a phone call from an evangelist friend in Florida. And he said, Jim, we're going to Nairobi, taking a big team of worshipers and a team of ladies to work in the orphanages and a worship team to lead the worship. We're going to preach a big crusade in Uhuru Park in Nairobi and also preach around churches and in prisons in that area. And do you want to go? We want you to go. We need some preachers to go with us. And beloved, that was the open door. That was the invitation. That was the fulfillment of the dream that God had sent me because he showed me that he wanted me to go there. And I said, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. And beloved, that first time when I came to Nairobi, it was so exciting. It was like nothing I had ever seen before, a complete polar opposite of everything I had known in my life. And I was so excited to be over there fulfilling my destiny, fulfilling my calling. And I can tell you, beloved, when you walk in your calling, when you fulfill your destiny, God is going to have an abundance of blessings for you, 30, 60, and 100-fold. When you leave your family, leave your home, leave your business, leave your farm, leave those things that are familiar to you. I'm not talking about divorcing your wife or running off and abandoning your responsibilities, but I'm just saying when you walk in your destiny and your calling and fulfill those things that God has planned for you, you will have an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, and you will be energized and you will feel like for the first time in your life, you're really living. And the first time in your life, you are excited with an abundance of excitement for the things that God has for you. Well, Romans 8:31, another scripture. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, this is verse 38, beloved, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, I'm going to finish with that beautiful, wonderful, powerful scripture there today, and how encouraging that can be. If you're struggling in life, if you're struggling with some kind of addiction, strongholds, high things exalted against the knowledge of God in your life, you just start speaking these scriptures, start speaking these affirmations, start speaking against the devil and his plan in your life, and you will be victorious, because God says you will have victory. Who can come against you if God is for you? Well, beloved, I hope you enjoyed these messages. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your prayers. I ask you to sit down, write us out a letter. Let us know you're listening. Let us know that you care about these broadcasts, to see them keep coming, and help us keep these broadcasts on the air so that others can benefit in the same way that you have. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we depend on the support of listeners just like you. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.